Good evening and welcome to worship. We're glad that you've joined us tonight. Aaron Spence will be our guest speaker this evening. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, as we gather into this time, we ask that you might quiet our hearts and our minds. Open our ears to hear from you, to be guided on your path. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
From the second reading of the text. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the discussion. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of a religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbors as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." Realizing this man's understanding, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the discussion. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all of my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbors as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." Realizing this man's understanding, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the discussion. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbors as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required by the law. Realizing this man's understanding, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So when I read this passage, I kept coming back to that Pharisee who asked Jesus about the greatest commandment, because his response to Jesus' answer would have been nothing short of scandalous. This Pharisee, this teacher of the law, said that Jesus' response was, quote, "more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required by the law." His statement would have been so controversial because the entire life of the Pharisee and priesthood was based on the Levitical laws and sacrificing things for God. A statement like that would have made heads turn. I mean, this man was a Pharisee. He spent most of his life learning all the Levitical laws and studying scripture as a means of following God. To be a Pharisee, you had to live a very restricted life so you could provide burnt offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. It was a life full of rules and regulations. So why would a Pharisee say something like that about his own way of life? I wonder where his heart was when he met Jesus that day, as he seemed different than most of the other Pharisees that Jesus encountered. I wonder if he felt a disconnect between the law and the Pharisee's hypocritical way of life. I wonder if he was questioning what it was all for. And as I thought about that Pharisee and the hypocrisy he must have encountered, I wonder how many people enter church doors because they are drawn to a truth beyond what they can see, only to feel jaded because of the hypocrisy of some people inside who preach the good news but fail to act on it. I wonder if that man was desperate to love God but struggling in the mess of the laws and doctrines. Then Jesus came into his life and cut to the heart of that man. Jesus revealed in such a simple and profound way that the heart of the law is not really a law at all, but it's a relationship. And in that moment, the man felt his thirst quenched. He tasted the intangible draft of truth and the hint of who that truth is. He was at the doorstep of the kingdom of heaven, realizing that it's a relationship with God through Jesus that he has hungered for all along. It's no wonder that no one else wanted to ask any questions after that. Who knows who else whose heart Jesus might have pierced that day and whose worldview would have been turned upside down. Now, like that Pharisee, we can easily feel lost in what it means to live a life for God. It's not about the laws, living a morally upright life, or avoiding some future punishment. Instead, it's about the relationship we form with God that can only come through a living, breathing relationship with Christ. And it's through that relationship that we're able to effectively love God, which then allows us to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's the difference between knowing a lot about God and knowing God himself. You know, it actually reminds me of an episode of Seinfeld. Now, I don't know if there's anyone else out there that's a fan of the show, but I love it. So in season 2, George believes he had a heart attack and was hospitalized. And while visiting George at the hospital, it becomes clear that Elaine and his doctor are romantically attracted to each other. However, things turn south between the two when, instead of kissing, the doctor grabs Elaine's tongue and awkwardly explains how the raised bumps on her tongue are called papillae. As you can imagine, the romantic mood is instantly killed, and in typical Elaine fashion, she ends things with the doctor for his faux pas. Now, as silly as the papillae scenario is in the Seinfeld episode, I know it's something that I've been guilty about when it comes to my relationship with God. Now, there have been numerous times when, instead of loving God with all of my heart, I get caught up in the minutiae, doctrinal statements, and sacrifices that I've been called to make. How silly I must look to God when I start inspecting his papillae, when he desires to enter into deeper relationship and communion with me. Now, while doctrine and sacrifices are important in understanding what God wants for our lives, we shouldn't use those as a substitute for loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the deadly mistake of the Pharisees, and one that Jesus admonished so strongly. For God has reminded us over and over again that he desires nothing else than to know us and for us to know him. He has counted all the hairs on our heads, and his desire for us to live in relationship with him is reflected in the very existence of Jesus. Just think of it. The God of the universe became a human to show his love for us. Not only did he humble himself to become a finite creature, he also died to show how deeply he loves us. God does not burden us with meaningless rules to watch us struggle, fall, and condemn us. He's not a tyrant reigning his power over us. He's not a disinterested God who set the universe in motion and let it all play out. He is an intensely personal God who cares about our joys and our struggles. And he made that clear in the way that Jesus lived his life. Jesus' public ministry was intensely personal, and even more so was his death and what his death meant for each and every one of us. In fact, a fun bit of movie trivia for movie buffs out there. In The Passion of the Christ, director Mel Gibson's hands actually served as a cameo for the Roman soldiers' hands that nailed Jesus to the cross. When asked about it, Gibson said, and I quote, "It was me that put him on the cross. It was my sins that put him there." How true that quote is. It was for you and me that Jesus was tortured and crucified. It was for our sake that he died to cleanse us of our sins. I can't imagine a more personal sacrifice and way for God to let us know how much he loves each one of us. Now, once the reality of that truth sinks into our soul, it overflows within us and we ache to reciprocate that love. Do you remember the first time that you fell in love? I do, and I remember overflowing with love and passion for her. She overwhelmed my thoughts, and I desired nothing but to spend more time with her. I wanted to respond to the love I felt by pouring myself out. Now, can you imagine how many flower shops and candy stores would close if love didn't call us into action in response? Hallmark would certainly be in some serious trouble. Instead, I find myself buying flowers and candy, writing sappy love notes, and figuring out creative ways to surprise my wife and let her know how much I love her. Our reciprocation of God's love is a lot like this too. When we know that God loves us and we love him, we can't help but overflow in love. But how do we love God? I mean, it's not like we can physically call him up and say, "Hey, let's go hang out at a baseball game," right? Or we can't be like, "Hey, Jesus, what kind of music do you like? And what do you think about this or that?" Right? Well, I remember when I was a senior in high school, and I decided to join a disciple Bible study here at SUMC so I could learn more about God and how I could love him. Walking into the first class and realizing that I was the most junior member by about 2 decades was pretty intimidating. But I soon found myself swept away by the stories, parables, and messages of God's love for us. I was drawn in by the drama of the Old Testament and moved by the unyielding and loyal friendship of David and Jonathan. I was convicted by the greatest sermon ever told as Jesus' eternal words echoed from the mount. And I knew I wanted to live righteously in God's sight. And I was brought to tears as I slowly grasped the reality of God's love for me. It is within God's word that we can experience the word, where we can come to know Christ, be moved by the Holy Spirit, and give our lives fully to God. It's within groups of believers that we can confidently grow in our love for God and of each other. For the Bible is a living book where we can experience Jesus and come to feel God's mercy and love. Loving God with all of our heart and soul also requires us to be people of prayer. It's through prayer that we put ourselves in the hands of God as we allow ourselves to be molded by him, where we experience deeper conversions as we grow in our faith. Now, whether those conversions are profound and life-altering experiences or gradual steps where we grow in our love for God, the important thing is spending time with God and taking ownership of our faith. As St. Augustine said, whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for him. Prayer allows us to talk and listen with God, growing more intimate in our relationship as we spend time with Him. Now, I've also learned to love God by witnessing others who exemplify a deep and powerful love for God. By following the lead of saints and observing that they have something special in their lives, something that allowed them to be at peace when the world seemed to be falling apart. For example, my life has been forever touched by the story of a young woman named Jessie, whom many of you may know or may have known. She dreamt all of her life of becoming a teacher and helping children grow in their knowledge and wisdom. She was accepted to Mount Union and was quickly on her way to realizing her dream. However, tragedy struck when she was diagnosed with brain cancer her freshman year. She had to leave school and start intensive treatments right away. During her battle with cancer, she lost her hair, her strength, and her ability to go out and experience all that life has to offer. However, she never lost her spirit or her love of God. She loved the time that she got to spend with her parents watching the Cleveland Indians games on TV, remembering all the fun times they had at the stadium when she was growing up. She spread her infectious smile to everyone who came to visit, no matter how terrible she felt. She remained upbeat and positive, offering words of love and hope, no matter how bleak things seemed to be. Now, although she ended up losing the battle to cancer after three painful and trying years, she forever left her legacy as a teacher on the hearts of all of those who knew her. She taught her parents how to hold on to hope and to God, despite how bad things seemed to be. She taught us how we can let our personal relationship with God overflow to loving all of those around us. She taught us all how to approach death with grace and dignity. And her story will continue to influence future teachers as her parents set up a scholarship in her memory. Jessie seemed to possess something intangible that not only made life bearable, but allowed every moment to be filled with joy. That something is an intimate relationship with God, working in and through her life. And there is no better witness to help lead others to Him. So what does loving God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength look like? It looks like spending time with God in prayer, immersing yourself in His living word, and striving to mirror the beautiful love that overflows from the saints around us. But there's another crucial piece to loving God with all of our being, and we can't do it without each other. Loving God calls us to a living, moving, and breathing faith, a faith that enables you to die to yourself so that you can actively live for others. By becoming a gift for others, we learn to put God first. And by putting God first, it means loving your neighbor as yourself. By volunteering your time to serve others and to help those who are in need. By recognizing that our time, talents, and treasures are gifts meant to be given back to give glory to God by serving others. Loving God means allowing ourselves to be moved to tears when we witness the injustices of this world, and by letting those tears move us, and by deciding to let those tears move us into action. By refusing to turn a blind eye to the areas in our lives where God wants to transform us. By living simply so that others may simply live. By living a life of deep devotion and prayer so that we can grow in wisdom and the Holy Spirit can work powerfully through us. It's allowing God's kingdom to break into our and purify our heart so that we can spread His kingdom to the rest of the world. Loving God with all of your strength looks like the lines of love and joy that were etched on Mother Teresa's face. It looks like the passion of Martin Luther King Jr. as he delivered speeches full of faith and hope. It looks like Jessie as she taught all of us how to love God through the midst of pain and loss. And it looks like you when you find your and embrace your identity in Christ. It happens when you allow yourself to be a pencil in God's hands, so that with you, He can craft a beautiful story, all the while recognizing that we are all broken pencils that need sharpening sometimes. Now that sharpening can be painful, but it's necessary so that we can learn to love each other in the way that God loves each and every one of us. Now, whether that sharpening is through prayer, reading his word, allowing our faith to move us into action, or loving others because God loves them, we can grow deeper in our relationship with God. So I ask that everyone pick one thing tonight that God is calling you to do to live in deeper relationship with him. And let's all strive this week to work on that aspect of loving God. May God empower us with the Holy Spirit to live out a life of love. Amen.
As Aaron challenged us, let's go forth this week. Find one thing we can do to grow in love of God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and grow in love of neighbor as ourselves. Go in peace. Amen.